Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. In the news today, Jerome Powell gets the nod from Biden. He is officially the nominee. So it looks like he's going to be the Fed chair for another few years. So I want to go over what that means for the future of the U.S. economy, and maybe more importantly to you, what it means for your investments and your portfolio. So let's dive into that right now. Story from CNBC, NASDAQ dips more than 1% as bond yields rise and tech shares falter after Powell renomination. So the first thing I want to point out here, guys, the market's telling us that it believes Jerome Powell is going to raise interest rates. And you see that by the NASDAQ going down. And this is as of, 10, 15 minutes ago, or maybe more. I'm not sure exactly when this came out. So I'm not sure if the NASDAQ is still down, but let's assume that it is for a moment. The NASDAQ is very sensitive to interest rates because most of the companies there don't make money. And if they do make money, they are these growth stocks or growth companies. And so what happens is future interest rates impact their bottom line or their share price far greater than a value stock like Budweiser or McDonald's or Altria, you know, tobacco company. So that's why if you see the NASDAQ going down, the market is basically telling you, oh, Jerome Powell is back in business. Well, we think there's a higher probability that he increases interest rates compared to Lael Brainard. So stocks slumped on Monday afternoon, reversing their earlier rally that came after Biden announced he would renominate Powell. And the vice chair is Lael Brainard, who's, how would I categorize her? I'll give her the benefit of the doubt and just say she's a central planner. I think that's the nicest thing I can say about Lael Brainard. She is a central planner through and through. And she is one of the global elite. The people that benefit from the Cantillon effect, both her and her husband. And I think their objective is to pursue their own self-interest and to gain power and control through the government and the central bank than by creating goods and services for the real economy. Let's just say it that way. So bank stocks, treasury yields moved higher. Okay, so what's happening here, guys? Treasury yields move higher, therefore bank stocks go up. Why? Because the market is seeing the yield curve steepen, and if the banks were in the business of lending money into the real economy, which they're not anymore, but the market seems to think they still are. Maybe it's just that kind of Pavlovian response. But theoretically, as the yield curve steepens, the bank's profits increase. So that's why you're seeing shares go up most likely. JP Morgan rose, Morgan Stanley rose, and the move higher in rates appears to take a bite out of some tech stocks. We went over that earlier, whose future earnings are less attractive to investors when yields rise or when yields are higher. So then it goes on to say Powell, former private equity guy, slashed interest rates to zero. We all know that in March 2020 helped backstop the market, with the first wave of the survey sickness helping financial system to remain operational during a sharp slowdown. That's an understatement. He also led a landmark reevaluation of the Fed's inflation target frame. Okay, yeah, so let's go over that. Remember they were saying 2%, 2%, 2%. And then when it gets above 2%, they say, well, it was under 2% for so long, then now we've got to let it run quote unquote hot, which makes absolutely no sense. Because their initial argument for keeping it 2% or a 200 basis points above zero is that we can't let it get too close to zero because then we risk deflation. And that is the ultimate boogeyman. We cannot have deflation because then we just go into this feedback loop that takes us downward, that takes the economy further and further into decline. So if that's the argument for 2% inflation, then obviously their argument for letting the economy run hot or above 2% inflation makes absolutely no sense whatsoever when they're saying they need to let it run at 3%, 4%, 5%, 6% to make up for lost time. that really kind of debunks their original message. So then they go on to say, this the chief U.S. economist at Oxford Economics, so it'll be interesting to hear what this guy says, continuity will be key during this potentially tricky phase of the recovery where inflation is elevated and sticky, demand growth is strong but cooling, and capital and labor supply is gradually rebounding. Okay, I guess I'd agree with that. I mean, he's kind of stating the obvious there. The article goes on to say Powell's renomination comes as inflation has exceeded expectations in recent months, leading the Fed to walk back its predictions that the rise in prices accompanied by reopening the economy will be transitory. I'd like to remind you that this just also illustrates how often the Fed is wrong. Pretty much everything they've said going back to 2005, they've been just, I'm just trying to think of one time they've been right. And I don't think they ever have. Not that I can remember. Because first it was that QE is temporary, or that housing was contained to subprime. Wrong. QE is temporary. Wrong. QT is going to be like watching paint dry. Wrong. Repo market, this is not QE, or QE, not QE. Wrong. Then we get the Cervasa sickness, inflation is transitory. Wrong. So, yeah, they're batting 100%. 100% wrong. So if you just do the opposite of what they say, then 100% of the time you will be correct. But that guy or that group that's been wrong every single time, let's just rehire the same guy and let's just keep giving them more and more power and let's just keep hanging on their every word as though it actually matters.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
Now, here's something I want to point out to everyone watching this video, and it's very counterintuitive, because we hear at the central bank about the central bank decreasing the amount of quantitative easing it's doing. So they're going from 120 billion a month down to 105. And because that means less demand for those mortgage-backed securities or treasuries, then we would assume that interest rates would go up. That's just kind of commonsensical. But what you have to do is you have to look at the Fed's balance sheet and then layer over interest rates on the 10-year. And what you'll see, since they started quantitative easing, is that when they increase the size of their balance sheet, you would think that interest rates would go down because that means more demand for those bonds or treasuries they're buying. But what actually happens is interest rates go up. And then when they start doing QT, meaning reducing the bond buying or the size of their balance sheet, interest rates have gone down. And we saw that in 2020 when they came out and announced $120 billion a month. What did interest rates do? They went up, not down. And then will we see in the future, once they start this reduction in quantitative easing and potentially quantitative tightening, I don't think they'll get that far, but if they do, are we going to see interest rates go back down? Which again would be very counterintuitive. I'm not saying we will, it's not a prediction, but it is basically pointing out what has happened in the past to emphasize the point that just because the Fed does QT, it doesn't necessarily mean interest rates go up. And just because they do QE, it doesn't necessarily mean that interest rates go down. So this individual says, I think it's a decent 1-2 combination as Art Cashin. And I think that's what they wanted. No disruption. I think the market reaction you're seeing is the market is happy with it. See, this is one thing that really bothers me about these talking heads on CNBC is they think that the right decision is whatever decision makes the market go up. Whatever makes the market happy, that's the correct policy response. And that is just absolute nonsense. And that's the reason why we're in this position today, where the real economy has been completely financialized and is really at the mercy now of the financial economy and asset bubbles. So if we don't continually blow air in these asset bubbles, then the real economy will suffer. That's not the way a healthy economy works, for heaven's sakes. The health of the economy or the standard of living, the purchasing power, should be determined by how productive the economy is, not the extent to which asset bubbles can be blown. So this is just, the reason I always like to point that out is because if you just listen to the talking heads in CNBC and Bloomberg, you actually forget what true wealth is. You start to drink their Kool-Aid. And the Kool-Aid I'm referring to is this narrative that dollars actually equal wealth, or that the value of the stock market, or the market cap of cryptocurrency, or of gold, of silver. They like you to believe that that is wealth, and it's not. It's not, and we need to make sure that we never forget that. So I think the main takeaway there, in addition to what I was saying, is that whether you've got Brainerd or you got Powell, you've got two doves in those positions. And therefore, I think the probability is very high that they're going to continue to do what they've done in the past, and that's monetize the massive deficits that we'll most likely see from the government. And if we do have a downturn in the market, I think they're going to be very, very quick to respond and maybe do things that are, maybe do even more that is in violation of the Federal Reserve Act than they did in March of 2020. So would I be surprised to see them buy stocks? Absolutely not. Would I be surprised to see them continue to buy corporate bonds, junk debt, if we have a downturn in the market? Absolutely not. And therefore, would I be surprised if we continue to see the rates of inflation that we've seen in the past? Absolutely not. Although there are no certainties, there are only probabilities. And I think that there's a good argument for the rates of inflation coming down in 2022 or in 2023. Now, that doesn't mean that we have deflation. It's just we have this big spike in inflation, and then the amount or the rate at which prices increase goes down slightly. But that's a topic for a completely separate video. All right, guys, wanted to give you the news update there, kind of my views and how it will play into your portfolio and what the market is doing. The market is assuming that we are going to get higher interest rates. We'll have to see where that pans out. And remember to always stand up and fight for freedom, liberty, and free market capitalism.